Hallelujah. Awesome. Let's pray, shall we? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for our service this morning. Thank you for our worship. Thank you that we could come together and sing our praises to you. And thank you for what you've done. Thank you for these songs of gratefulness, these songs of thankfulness, songs of talking about your power and your might. And we thank you that we were able to do that this morning. Thank you for the sharing that's been done this morning already. You speaking to us through our brothers and sisters. So thank you for that, Father. And thank you now that we come to look at your word. Thank you for these seeds that we hold in our hands. These seeds that can change our life. So thank you that we're about to plant some seeds into our heart. I speak our understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. Understanding so that these seeds are not stolen. Understanding so that these seeds will germinate and grow into plants and produce fruit that we desire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome. We are now on week 2 of my first mini-series of the year. What do you have in your hands? As I'm calling it. I'm wanting to challenge you. I want to encourage you into something bigger, into something better going forward. Want to encourage you to use your skills, use your experience, use your qualifications, whatever you've got in your hands to do something great. And I asked you some questions. What do you have in your hands? Are you valuing what you have in your hands? What are you saying about what you have in your hands? And what are you doing with what you have in your hands? And those are the questions I'm going to keep asking for the next few weeks to get you to think about what you've got, what you're good at, what your plan and purpose is. Find out what it is, get into it, and see what you've got that you can use for that plan and that purpose. And last week we looked at Jesus feeding the 5,000 or the 15 or the 20 or whatever you want to count. But feeding the 5,000 blokes. How he actually took what he possessed. He looked into the spiritual possibilities. He looked up, remember? He blessed what he had. He didn't curse it. And then he started to use it. Brilliant model. Great model for us to use in any part of our lives. Because all our lives, every little bit of it, is part of the plan and purpose of God. You know, it's not just our ministry that he's interested in, that he's got a plan and purpose for. It's for a relationship with our families. It's for a relationship with the wider communities. It's for everything. Everything we do. It's for that wee conversation with the wee wifey and the till at Asda. You know, it's for the plan and purpose of who we're going to meet today, what we're going to say to them today, how are we going to... That's all part of our plan and purpose. What have you got to use for that? So I'm hoping to get you to think on that. If you've not listened to the first sermon yet, really encourage you to do so. Because, yeah, I'm not big-headed or anything, but I've had some great feedback. So it was not a bad sermon, to be honest. I listened to it again myself. It was really good. It blessed me. It was challenging. It wasn't condemning. I've had that feedback. And it was encouraging. A couple of people said to me, you know what, Vic? It was the kick up the you know what that I needed. So if that gave you a kick up the proverbial, well, that's good. Hopefully it was challenging, not condemning. So that was last week. So turn with me to 1 Samuel 17 today. 1 Samuel 17. And today I am going to look at the account of David and Goliath. The most one-sided fight ever in the history of the universe. But not the way most people think it was one-sided. I want us to learn more about using what we have in our hands. And this week I want to highlight two very important points. See, I'm using my old teaching style. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, then I'll tell you, then I'll tell you what I've told you. So what am I going to tell you? Two really important points. Use what's in your hands and not what's in someone else's.
Amen.
Use what you're good at. Don't try and be someone else. And understand, really believe, really get to know, really get to the bottom of and fathom the truth that you are in partnership with God. In fact, even better than that, you're in covenant with God. So that's the 2 points I want to highlight. Use what's in your hand, not someone else's, and understand you're in covenant relationship with God. And we'll learn both of these points from our study of how David defeats Goliath. Because we all know who won the battle. I mean, I came from a... I wasn't going to say an ungodly family, that's not right. I came from a non-godly, non-religious, grew up without church and whatever. But I can't remember when I knew about David and Goliath, but everyone knows about David and Goliath, don't they?
Yeah,
everyone does. Just back in the day, you used to get taught that in school and nursery and whatever. So everybody knows about David and Goliath. Everyone knows David wins. And it's like, you know, it's an analogy, a picture that everyone knows of. Now, I remember, it's just flashed into my mind, many years ago, Forest Mechanics drew Glasgow Rangers in the Scottish Cup. Yeah, and it was a fantastic build-up to it. It was a great day. But I remember, I think it was the P&J or the Northern Scot, and it was David meets Goliath. Unfortunately, we didn't have enough stones or decent sling throwers that day, because David didn't win that one. But we all know about it. It's a picture, it's an analogy everyone knows about. You know, the wee guy beating the giant. Now, I'm not going to read all this account. It's quite long. You know it, but read it later. But I'm going to pick out a few verses that highlight what I want to teach on today. So what's going on here? Well, we know two armies facing each other, Philistines and Israel facing each other. And we know Goliath of the Philistine is trying to get one of the men of Saul's army out to fight him. Because there was quite often in those battles, instead of the two armies fighting and thousands of people having to die to decide who wins, you would have one champion from each side who would come out and fight, and whoever won, their army won, and the other army kind of went away. Didn't quite work out that way this time, though, but that's what happened sometimes. So you get one champion from each army to come and do the fighting. But Saul's men, no one was willing. Not even Saul, the king, who should have stood up and led. No, he didn't. And all his men were greatly afraid. And then wee young David turns up. So I'll read a few verses. So 1 Samuel 17:22 says, "And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid." Verse 26, "And David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And then verse 32. "And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And David said moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. and he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. I'm going to cover the second point first. The fact that David understood he was in partnership with God. This is real. This is vital. This is important. You know, if we feel we have been appointed and anointed by God to do something, he's going to be with us. And we really need to understand that. If he's asked us to do something difficult, he's still going to be with us. If he's asked us to do something, he's going to provide the resources to do it. He's not going to leave us on our own. And we really need to grasp that. And we can learn that from David. See, David understood he was in partnership with God because David had seen the power of this partnership before. David had been looking after the sheep, and he was a brave shepherd. He protected his sheep, protected them against a lion and against a bear. Now, that was no mean feat, was it? That was a real act of bravery. That was a display of power. But David knew he was not fighting alone when he was fighting the lion and the bear. He knew God was with him. The Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion, David said. The Lord delivered me out of the paw of the bear, David said. The Hebrew word for delivered is natsal. It means to defend, to preserve, not to fail to rescue, to save. Wonderful word. David knew the salvation of the Lord. How the Lord had preserved him in other times of trouble. How the Lord had saved him out of other difficult situations. And he knew his God was a consistent God. No respecter of persons, we could say. If he did it once for David, he's going to do it again. If he did it for David, he's going to do it for us. You know, he's consistent. And David knew, if God preserved me, if God saved me, if God didn't fail me then, he's going to save me, preserve me, and not fail me now. He was in relationship with God. He knew what his God was like. He knew what his God did, what his God didn't do. And here's the thing. See, David knew he was meant for a higher purpose. David knew he had been anointed as future king by Samuel. Now, Samuel, the representative of the Lord. So in a sense, in a real sense, in a real way, David had been anointed by God to be king. Huge plan and purpose. Great things for David. Anointed by God. Not yet appointed, not yet in place, but anointed. Sometime in the future, you are going to be king. And David knew that. David also knew he'd been delivered from the lion and the bear. Now, I looked through the scriptures. I couldn't see if this was before or after he was anointed. And it's not important. What David knew was the Lord delivered him out of the lion. The Lord delivered him out of the bear. The Lord had a plan and a purpose for him that meant he would be king. So I'm thinking of David's thought processes. So I'm meant to be king. I'm anointed to be king. I'm not king yet. So the bear could not kill me. The lion could not kill me. Because God has wanted me to be king, and I'm not king yet. Do you see what I'm trying to say here? Do you get that logic? David knew God had a higher purpose for him. And that purpose did not include being killed by a lion. And it did not include being killed by a bear. Now, at this point, when he's saying to Saul, I'll go and fight Goliath, was he king yet?
No.
So what does that mean? Couldn't lose. He couldn't lose because he's not king yet. He hasn't been appointed, made king yet. He hasn't fulfilled that part of his higher purpose, his plan, his vision. So how could Goliath kill him? That's not part of God's plan. Not part of his purpose. How could the Lord's purpose for David involve being killed by Goliath? Couldn't be. It's like people today saying God makes us sick. Nonsense. Sickness's ultimate aim is to kill. If you've got a plan and purpose for God, being killed is not part of that plan and purpose. So sickness cannot be part of that plan and purpose. So let's not just look at it, but let's put Bible, let's be logical about this and actually think through what the Bible's saying. That's what David was thinking here. David knew and trusted God and followed the path laid out for him. Now, he was anointed king, but not appointed. So he didn't rush to be king. What did he do? He went back to be a shepherd. David knew and trusted God and followed the path laid out for him. I am to be king. He delivered me not once. He preserved me not once. He saved me not once, but twice. Or that we're told about. So he'll deliver me now. And that's what he says in verse 37. He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. David had God with him. And Saul, I think, recognized that at this point. Go and the Lord be with you, he said. Now, it's like, I was looking at Saul on this, I'm not going to get into it, but it was like, there's a slopey shoulder for a king if ever I saw one. Or did he recognize the true power and nature of David? I don't know. Maybe you get onto that later, but not today. So David knew he was in partnership with God, but you know what? He knew it was so much more than a partnership. David knew it was a covenant. And a covenant is very powerful. A binding agreement, a binding promise, an agreement to do or not to do something. And David knew as an individual and as a nation, he was in covenant with God. And that meant something to David. And you know what? He also knew something more important. It meant something to God. God doesn't go into covenant lightly. Because see, once God says something, he can't go back on his word. So he doesn't go into covenant lightly. David knew that. And David spoke out this when he was talking to the men in the army. I've got down here 1 Samuel 17:26. What does he say there? Yeah. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? This is David speaking out his covenant. Now, you may be thinking, well, David says nothing about his covenant with God. Well, he does. It's a sort of juxtaposition. He highlights his covenant by talking about the lack of covenant that Goliath has. Yeah. Because Goliath doesn't have a covenant. Talks about this by highlighting what Goliath did not have. I realise something. On Friday, as I was pondering this, David never says Goliath. Ever notice that? He never says his name. He always says that Philistine. And it's not like, you know, I remember once being accused of being a Philistine. And it was in a derogatory. I was on a management course and I did one of these personality surveys. And I filled out 350 questions or something. And then this guy gave me a review and I sat down. The first thing he says is, well, Vic, you're a bit of a Philistine, aren't you? as in I didn't like poetry and classical music and all that. I've changed now. But it's a kind of, if you say that to somebody now, it's really derogatory. Now, I don't think David was being derogatory in that sense of the word. He was highlighting what this guy didn't have. Verse 26, he highlights this complete lack of covenant by calling him, as Carol says, "You uncircumcised Philistine." Why say that? To show explicitly that this guy, Goliath, this Philistine, this chap who was uncircumcised, was not in covenant with God. David, you see, was a Hebrew. He was of Israel. He had been circumcised. He had this symbol, this picture of covenant. I laughed when I was writing this. He was, in a sense, without actually doing it, displaying his circumcision, to display his covenant relationship with God. He had that, or I should say he didn't. He didn't have that, but Goliath did. Goliath wasn't in covenant with the living God. David was in covenant with the living God. He had the symbol of it. He could have displayed, if he wanted to, his symbol of covenant. But it was enough for David to know that. And him saying this uncircumcised Philistine, he's speaking out. He's not in covenant with God. He's got nothing. Look what I've got. That's what David is saying. In the physical, this was a one-sided fight. It wasn't a fair fight. Does anyone remember the last time I preached this? Marcus was here. Remember that? And I took Marcus out and I stood and he must have been just like that size then. And I was saying, I think I could take him. I'm actually pretty sure I could do him in a fight. I was a Goliath, he was David. Just to show. In the physical, this really is a one-sided fight. Wee boy, no armor. In his youth, Saul said, this huge guy, Goliath, armor, sword, spear, everything, helmet. Been a warrior from his youth. In the physical, it's not a fair fight. But David looked up. David looked into the spiritual. And on that level, it was also a one-sided fight. It was also an unfair fight. But on the side of David, this time the other way around. Goliath was the born loser in this spiritual fight, on the spiritual level. David, in a sense, looked up. Remember Jesus looked up last week? Looked at the spiritual, seen beyond the physical. David was doing that here, seeing what was possible in the supernatural, possible with the Lord, possible because of his covenant relationship. That's what David was doing there. And the lesson for us, understand we're in covenant relationship with God. Believe that, understand what we get because of that. And also know that our covenant is what? A better covenant, based on better promises. Hebrews 8:6 talks about that. We live under the new covenant. We live under grace. David lived under the old covenant. We are so blessed living on the other side of the cross compared to David. But David loved what he had. David honoured what he had. David cherished what he had. Yeah, he made some mistakes. I don't say that lightly, adultery and murder. Yeah, he made some mistakes. But he still knew he was in covenant relationship with God. Man after God's own heart, he said. That wasn't boasting or pride, that was him understanding the covenant he was under. We need to know that, know our identity in Christ, know what we have through the finished work of Jesus, know the power of the partnership, the power of the covenant that we have. Whole other series. That would take me a year to do that. What we have in Christ and through Christ and in grace. But David knew he was in covenant relationship with God and could not fail. So how did he succeed? Here's point two. or point one, I think, by using what he had in his hands, not what another man had in his. Let's go to 1 Samuel 17 again, verse 38. And Saul, this is after Saul said, go, the Lord be with you, give David his permission to fight Goliath. And Saul armed David with his armour, and he put on a helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armour, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine, in verse 48. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Now there's a whole other lesson. You know, when we get a big problem in front of us, some of us turn and run the other way. David ran at it. Took it head on. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. Brilliant. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Saul agreed to let David fight Goliath. Really passing the buck. I mean, Saul was still king. To me, he should have stood up and fought him. And he'd have won if he realised he was in relationship with God, if he was in covenant relationship with God and he was on the right side. But he didn't see that. Even here, David was behaving like a king before he was actually king. There's another lesson for us. You've got a plan and a vision of what God wants you to do. Start behaving like that, even if you're not there. God wants you to run a business, start thinking like a businessman. God wants you to write a book, start thinking like an author. Amen. Hallelujah. David was behaving like a king before he actually was king. And then Saul started to put his armour on David. You see, David had no armour. He gave David a helmet, because David didn't have one. He gave David his sword. David didn't have a sword. But David said, I can't use these. I've not proved them. They're not mine. I cannot use them. Well, not now when that huge giant's in front of me. Maybe give me a couple of days' practice. Can't use them now. Not now. Not proved them. I cannot use them. I will use what I already have in my hands. What did he have? His staff, his sling. Took a staff in his hand, put the stones in the bag, had the sling in his hand, took what he possessed, took what he was good at, took what and used what he'd done before. I imagine he was quite a good shot with that sling. Yeah, catapult. I was never good with a catapult. But never used a sling, did use a catapult when I was a naughty boy. But I was never very good with it. But he'd used this before, looking after the sheep. Killed a bear, killed a lion, protected the sheep before. He wanted to use what he had, and the rest, as we say, is history. Friends, use what you're good at. Use what you have in your hands. Don't try and use what someone else has, what someone else is good at. Don't do it the way they're doing it. Do it the way you need to do it. Don't look at what your friends, what your family, what your colleagues, what your competitors have in their hands and want that. Don't envy that. Do not compare what you have to what others have. I think I said this on Thursday, that's a great way to curse what you've got. You know, it's like, a silly example, but imagine I had agreed for one of my clients to build a concrete statue of Jesus. I'm going to curse myself straight away by thinking, oh, I could never do it like Pauline does it. I'll maybe give it to Pauline and try and ask for a commission. But, you know, don't compare what other people can do And do as I say, not do as I do, okay? Because remember last week, I was talking about my book, being an author. Oh, Nunzi's so much better at me than writing. That's exactly what I did. So do what I say, not do what I do. Okay, I'm trying to learn as well. Don't look at what someone else can do and compare it to you, because you'll always look negative on yourself. You'll always turn that around and think, I could be better, I could be doing more, I could be stronger, I could have a better qualification, could have more resources. Don't look at that other person and compare yourself to them, because you'll curse what you've got. I promise you that's what you'll do. But very seldom you'll compare yourself to someone else and think, oh, I'm so much better than them. Not very often we do that unless we're arrogant so-and-sos. But that's another sermon, isn't it? Don't compare yourself. That's a great way to curse what you have. Great way to curse. That, if you want to be anointed in cursing what you've got, compare yourself to somebody else, okay? Oh, she is much better writer than me. I've got that written down. Her writing is so good. Mine is just not. I'll get the pictures. I did it again yesterday and the day before. I'll get the pictures. You write the copy for the website, because you're just so good at that. What am I saying? I'm not. Let's not do that. David had a way of working. It was good for him. Saul had another way. David could not use what Saul had as well as what he had. Even if it looked less, even if it looked smaller, even if it looked less powerful, it was what worked for David. And in covenant with God, it was powerful. It was mighty, and it was more than enough. How many stones did David take? How many did he use?
One.
More than enough. More than enough in his hands. And it looked piddly insignificant compared to what Goliath had. I've seen pictures. Some of them he's got a huge shield and a big sword. Some of them he's got a big spear. And anyway, he's got weapons of mass destruction and David doesn't have. David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with one stone. David prevailed with what he had in his hand, with his method, with his strengths and his skills, not with Saul's armor, not with Saul's helmet, not with Saul's sword. David prevailed with what was in his hand and in partnership and in covenant with God. What does 1 Samuel 17:45 say? Yeah, this is about covenant again. 1 Samuel 17:45-47. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and a shield." I should have just read the word, shouldn't I? So he had a. How was he holding that? He had three hands. Anyway, he had a. You come at me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. Here's someone I've never noticed. He didn't say, "I come at you with my sling." He didn't say that. What did he say? "I come to you in covenant with the living God. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand." Who's David saying? Who's fighting here? Who's doing the delivering? God, the Lord. "This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Awesome. This is David looking up and blessing what he had. Speaking out in positivity, speaking out in power and authority, and no doubt that God is with him. In fact, that this is God's battle and it's God's victory, and the glory is going to be to God, and people are going to see that there's a God and that he's a mighty God, and that the glory and the honour will go to him. There's something else I need to preach on. It's we do things for the Lord. That's a whole other message. speaking out in spirit and in truth. And then he acted. He did something. What did he do? He ran at him. Wow. He ran at this uncircumcised Philistine and slew him with a sling and a stone. He ran at him. He acted. He moved. He did something with what was in his hands. And boy, did he win a mighty victory with something really physically insignificant. One stone. One wee stone in the hands of a believer. What wee stones are you jiggling about this morning? What wee stones have you got that's not significant? What wee stones have you got that you can use to slay the giant with? Knowing you're in partnership with God and actually doing something. Hallelujah. One stone in the hands of a believer. Something small and insignificant in the hands of a child of God slaying a giant. A huge physical problem. That's a beautiful picture of what we can do. Oh, I'm jumping ahead of myself. What small and insignificant thing have you got in your hand today? I should read my notes, shouldn't I? What giant are you facing? This, you know, we always get asked this, like, what giant are we facing? But hey, let's also look at what seemingly small, insignificant skill have we got? What experience that we got that we can use to bring on that problem? Here's another one that we don't often think about. But what networks have we got? What networks have we got that we can utilize to kill that giant? What skills Pauline got that I can use? What skills Zani got that I can use? What skill have I got that you can use? Network, contacts. They're also things that we've got in our hands. Nunzi was saying one of the things, I can't remember if you said you were going to say it to the youth or you wanted to, the youth of India, that they had to make use of their networks. You were talking about Samuel. You know, Samuel's got his new job. And he's been in university with his other rich people. He can use that network. That's something in our hands. In partnership with God, that physical giant can be slain with what you have in your hand. If you pick it up. What did David do first before he went and met Goliath? He picked up his five stones. So pick him up. Look into the spiritual. Whatever you have, take it in your hands. Look up, look into the spiritual. Bless it. Be positive. Speak out positivity. And use it. Don't compare what you have to what others have. This will probably mean nothing to you, but here's an example. When I started my consultancy business, I said to Nunzi, I want to be the next Charlie McLean. Now, that meant a lot back then. This kind of, as he seemed then, this giant in the industry. I want to be the next Charlie McLean. But I was so wrong. You know what I say now? I am going to be Vic Cameron. Amen. I am Vic Cameron. I'm going to do what he does best. Be my own man in my business. Teach the way I teach. Coach the way I coach. Use my strengths, my skills, my experience, my networks. Nothing against Charlie. I don't want to be like Charlie McLean anymore. I'm going to be me. Using what I have in my hands. Folks, don't try and be someone else. Don't compare what you have to what others have. Don't try and do a Saul. Don't try and be a Saul when you haven't even wielded a sword. You know, David would have been running, maybe running into battle, his helmet fell down, he wouldn't see what was happening, he'd be trying to yield his sword, stabbed it. No, use what you had. Don't focus on what you don't have. David gave Saul's armor, didn't give it a second thought. I imagine, you know, there were people putting it on him, and then no. And it's all fallen on the floor, and then he moves off. And he wouldn't have looked back thinking, maybe I should have taken that helmet. Maybe I should have taken that armour. No, don't focus on what you don't have. Take what you have in your hands. Look to the Lord. See what is possible in the spiritual. See what is possible in covenant relationship with him. Bless what you have. Speak out positivity. I am the best whiskey educator the world has ever seen or will ever see. I'm the best sculptor there is. Whatever. Bless what you have and then use it. Goodness sake, use it. Don't waste. Let's not waste our strengths. Let's not waste our experiences by not doing something. Jesus started to distribute the food. Now, I don't think as he was distributing it, he had it all. You know, 10, 15, 20,000 people ate enough food to be filled. But Jesus didn't have that all in his hands. It was, you know, at this point, he was still just an ordinary bloke. And he wasn't anything special by all accounts. So he couldn't have held all that food. So he started distributing it. Before he'd, in the physical, he'd seen it all being multiplied. But he did something. Do something. Take what you have in your hands, bless it, and use it. David had very little in the physical. Saul had more than David in the physical, but he didn't use it. Goliath had so much more in the physical, but he wasn't in covenant relationship with the living God. David had the real strength, the spiritual strength. He had God on his side. And even with the little piddly things he did, he did marvelous things. Amen. Awesome. Hallelujah. Eveline, will you come and share communion with us?